easier to conceal his desires than risk exposing them. Given their shared ambivalence about sexual intimacy and its place within a spiritual life, they instinctively created a superficially courteous and low-exposure relationship. Grant and Nicole were devout members of the church, so much so that friends often referred to them as the anchors of their ward and stake, and in so many ways they were. They accepted every calling extended to them and eagerly helped anyone in need. Because their marriage was so outwardly amiable and courteous, they looked the part of an ideal Latter-day Saint couple. But beneath their picture-perfect exterior, the marriage was quietly unraveling. Although they appeared to epitomize spiritual strength, their marriage lacked depth and vitality. It offered them little to draw from, no sense of shared honesty, no sense of being truly known. Aside from their sparse sexual engagement, the marriage suffered from an overall lack of emotional freedom and ease in one another's presence. Grant and Nicole were so invested in their culturally validated identities that they feared knowing themselves and each other outside of them. A friendship that was intimate, as in open-hearted and honest, was not yet possible for this couple, and they each suffered because of it. It was not the lack of sexual gratification that was eroding their happiness. It was the deep loneliness they felt in each other's presence. Like so many couples I work with, Grant and Nicole related to each other primarily through their respective responsibilities and roles. The safety and staleness of this orientation stifled the authenticity of their marriage, undermining the possibility of an intimate connection and honest passion. Although marriage holds deep importance in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, our instruction often emphasizes gender-based responsibilities and mutual respect more than principles that foster intimate marriages. Many of us were taught that a happy partnership rests on fulfilling our divine tasks. Men are to lead, protect, and provide, both temporally and spiritually, while women are to nurture, rear, and support. The implicit message is that if each partner faithfully performs their respective duties, affection and marital harmony will naturally follow. But role fulfillment alone does not create an intimate marriage. In fact, there are often tacit expectations about what one will get from a spouse in this implicitly dependent model. For example, it is common for young Latter-day Saint men to believe that sexual gratification will be the reward for faithfully providing for a wife and children. And many young women anticipate that a worthy priesthood holder will provide for them materially and spiritually, offering a parent-like protection in exchange for their dependence. So when couples face the disconnect between their expectations and the lived reality of marriage, disillusionment and struggle often follow. In no place is this disillusionment more conspicuous and more painful than in the unmet expectations around sex. Many of us assume that a strong sexual bond will naturally flow from the attraction that first drew a couple together. But for many religious couples, an inherited ambivalence towards sex and pleasure quietly undermines that outcome. Though sexual expression is authorized within marriage, many Latter-day Saints continue to wrestle with the lingering belief that eroticism and spirituality are somehow at odds. We've long been taught that forsaking desire is a measure of goodness, that putting off the natural man is essential to righteousness. So it is no wonder that pleasure within marriage can feel fraught. How much is too much? Under what conditions is it truly acceptable? Will sexual thoughts weaken the spirit? For many, it's hard to trust themselves in intimacy when fear and abstinence have always been the answer. I witness much of this confusion and pain in my work as a marriage therapist and educator. So many earnest LDS couples feel alienated from themselves and each other, given their anxieties about the body and sexuality. Although we profess that sex in marriage is good, there is a significant disconnect between our teachings and our actual experiences, between our stated theology and our internalized beliefs. This lived dissonance compromises the quality of our marriages and the depth of our spirituality. If we are to be at peace, if we are to create loving, soulful partnerships, we must reconcile our sexual nature with our spiritual nature.